Recently, we were all shocked and so saddened by the school shooting on February 14, 2018 in Parkland, Florida. Well, 10 years to the day of that school shooting, so 10 years earlier in 2008, the guest that we're going to talk to today lost his daughter in a school shooting in a college in the state of Illinois. And in fact, he is offering support in the wake of the shooting in Florida. In fact, he wrote a book about it called Cartwheels in the Rain, Finding Faith in the Wake of the Unthinkable. Our guest, his name is Joe Dubowski, Joe Dubowski, D-U-B-O-W-S-K-I. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Joe, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me.
Sure. So before we talk a little bit about Parkland, tell us about what happened with your daughter, if you would.
Yes. Back in February 14th of 2008, a shooter entered the auditorium where my daughter was having an oceanography class and started opening fire randomly throughout the room, first with a shotgun, then with a handgun.
Wow.
And my daughter suffered two wounds, one right through the head with the handgun, and was later on, a few hours, about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, taken off of life support and pronounced dead.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Were there a lot of others shot, or a few others, or what? What was that?
I believe that the total was around 17 or 18 wounded, and then another five died, including my daughter. Plus, the gunman took his own life.
Oh man, this wasn't really well known. Was this in DeKalb, or where was this?
Yes, DeKalb, Illinois. Northern Illinois University.
How far is that from Chicago? About.
Second year student there.
Yeah. Wow. So sorry. And how far was that from Chicago about?
It's about a 70-mile drive from downtown Chicago and about a 35-mile drive from where we live in the western suburbs.
Did your daughter know the shooter at all, or how did that work?
No. The shooter had graduated from NIU. I believe he had gotten his bachelor's degree and was hoping to return to school for his master's degree. And then the program that he had been hoping to get into there was discontinued. And so he had subsequently enrolled in a program, master's program down in Champaign at University of Illinois. But some things in his life, came to a head, and he just decided to commit this heinous crime.
Wow.
And take his own life.
Yeah. When it was all said and done, I mean, do you have any idea what triggered this, if you will? I mean, and his snapping. What caused him to just do this? So evil.
It's been a while since I've read police reports and things like that, but I suspect that it was a combination of the disconnection and feeling betrayed by the university, since he had done very well in school at NIU, and the people at NIU, the faculty and his classmates, had no idea that this was possible from him. And he had also, not long before this happened, his mother had died. And so sense of profound loss may have driven it, as well as just the underlying mental health issues that he'd had since childhood.
Huh. Okay, and what are your comments about the recent shooting in Parkland, Florida?
Well, We were, Jerry, we were in, my wife and I and our son were at Northern Illinois University on the 14th of February this year, and we are getting ready for the ceremony marking the time at the school when the shooting had taken place.
Yeah.
And we have a ceremony that takes place every year. And we were just waiting for that, and I noticed my son and daughter-in-law looking at their phones, and they looked rather concerned as they were looking at their smartphones and told me that there had been another shooting down in Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
And with that, my heart just sank, and at the same time, it was like, nope, I can't handle this right now.
Sure.
This is the 10-year anniversary of Gail's death was just overwhelming in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then to add to that, I just didn't think I could go through it really thinking about it. So it wasn't until a few days, a day or two later that really began, checking the news and following the story down in Florida.
Yeah.
But, it's just been a heartbreaking thing for me to,
sure,
and for my wife and family to, as well as others who were close to, including some of the other victims of the shooting here at NIU and how it affected them. So,
did you see parallels in some ways to some of the bad things that happened to Nicholas Cruz, the confessed alleged shooter, but he did confess, as I understand it, in the Parkland, and to the guy at Northern Illinois University?
They both seemed to have had some pretty troubled lives and troubled hearts, mental illness, and a preoccupation with violence and explosives and other shootings that had happened in the past. I think that's part of the reason why we see each of these shootings, or many of these shootings, seeming to build on what had happened in the past. And so I don't know at this point. I haven't followed it closely enough to know whether this being the anniversary of the NIU shooting, 10-year anniversary, had anything to do with it. I'd be surprised if it did, but then I wouldn't be surprised if it did at the same time. So.
Okay, and what are your comments in terms of offering support to the victims like yourself? I mean, how did you and your wife deal with it? And by the way, it's delightful to hear that you and your wife are still together. Sometimes crises like this can either drive people closer or they can drive couples away from each other.
Yeah. That's so true. And certainly this, put pressures on our relationship. I was not very good with talking about my feelings prior to losing our daughter. And, just making a lot of, I guess, right decisions about being honest and open with how I was feeling, and at the same time making room for how my wife was feeling, and recognizing that one of the things that I learned through all this was you both lose the same daughter, but in a sense you don't. You each have a unique relationship with her, and you each grieve and feel different things at different times. And I think what happens with a lot of couples is that they feel very disconnected when one person is say wanting to talk about it and the other person isn't. Or they disagree about what was especially painful for them. It's much more helpful to talk about what you share.
Yeah.
And be okay with where your mate is. One of the things that helped in the years since the shooting at NIU was going back. I had been a software development professional, and I went back and got my degree, my master's with a specialization in marriage and family therapy. And my wife often tells people, you know, well, I think our, you know, how did, you know, Joe's going back to school, how did the shooting and everything, you know, how did all this affect your marriage? And she'll often tell people, our marriage is better now than it used to be. Because you know, I've learned a lot of things about, first of all, dealing with grief, as well as communicating with my wife and being a better listener and just being more in touch with where I'm at. Sure. At a particular moment or day.
The subtitle of your book, Finding Faith in the Wake of the Unthinkable. So am I to understand that you became a Christian out of the whole experience, or it was a kind of a reawakening of your faith after the death of your daughter?
Yeah. It was a major shakeup to our faith. I mean, we had, you know, my wife and I had been Christians for 25 years at that point, and our daughter had become a Christian, you know, put on Christ in baptism about 4 years before that, and our son had been baptized about a year and a half before that event. And but it was like, where is God in all of this? Why didn't he protect her? You know, what about his promises? And I think it really matured our faith in terms of what we expect from God versus what God promises, and putting those things in alignment. I mean, God doesn't promise us a free, you know, a suffering-free life. Right. When we serve him and love him, but he promises that he will be with us and that he won't abandon us. And so for us, it was, you know, have we been abandoned? And we just came to the conclusion that no, we hadn't been abandoned, but we had to go deeper than just what our feelings were.
Sure.
You know, might not feel like God is with me today, but that doesn't mean that he isn't.
Right.
You know, you got to separate the fact from the feeling.
Yeah, and I'm sure certain Bible verses helped you a lot. Can you name one particular verse that was very meaningful to you?
Verses that helped were in Lamentations, where Jeremiah's just, you know, suffered through the, yeah, the destruction of Jerusalem and everything, and just his great suffering. In the midst of his great suffering, he could still see that God's promises were good, and that he was faithful.
Yeah.
Seeing my role in things. In 2 Corinthians 1, where, you know, God, you know,
oh, yeah,
you know, praise be to the God of all comfort and God of, you know, Father of compassion. And he comforts us in all of our suffering so that we can, in turn, comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received in Christ.
Yeah, so in other words, so, these things that happen, we're basically out of time, but these things happen, yeah, so that you can turn around and comfort others. The book, yeah, that we're talking about here is called Cartwheels in the Rain, Finding Faith in the Wake of the Unthinkable. The author is Joe Dubowski. Thank you so much, Joe, for being with us, and God bless you. Thank you for opening up on this point.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.